Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Well, hello. Welcome to another issue of program Enemies Within with Trevor Loudon. Thanks for the introduction, Brandon, and thanks for use of your channel. It's much appreciated. Today, I'm going to just go off my books for a little while. I'm going to talk about how Jesse Jackson transformed America, how he made America into the socialist-leaning, racially divided country that it is today, how he affected, how he gave us Barack Obama, and he gave us many of the bad things in America today. So just a short message promoting my products, and we'll get back to that story. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank you for watching Trevor Loudon's show, and I want to invite you to support Trevor's work by going to trevorloudon.com and checking out Trevor's excellent books. Let me show you some of his books. Here they are, Security Risk Senators. It took two volumes to get this done. These are highly documented. Security Risk Senators, Part 1, Arizona to Massachusetts, Part 2, Michigan to Virginia. I interviewed Trevor for several hours on these books when they came out. They're a must for everybody's library. Enemies Within. This is a DVD. You should indeed have this in your library as well. This book, White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risk Running for U.S. President in 2020. You may say, wait a minute, that's 2020. That's a dated book. Actually, it's not, because the individuals being discussed are still around today and in government and endeavoring to run for office. This is a historical book. This book, White House Reds, gives you the historical background of many of the communist and socialist front groups in America today and many of the candidates, well, that ran for president but are still around today. So this book is very relevant. The Enemies Within movie. Then we have Burn This Book, Barack Obama and the Enemies Within. These are some of Trevor's excellent resources. Not only should these be a part of your library and that of your family and friends, but this is also a great way to support the work of Trevor Loudon. So everybody wins. You get great books and resources, and you're supporting Trevor Loudon so he can keep this TV show going. So please, go to trevorloudon.com right now. trevorloudon.com right now. Make your purchases and share this website with your family and friends. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Brandon, again for that plug, and I will repeat it, trevorloudon.com. If we're in a war, we need to know we're in a war, and we need to know who our enemies are. And I'll say that my books provide that better than any other resource out there. The proof's in the pudding. Don't believe me. Check it out for yourself. Thank you. Well, Jesse Jackson, you all remember Jesse Jackson, right? That great American scamster, that great race baiter. But he has done, well, really the movement he spawned has done more to transform America than virtually any other. And I want to go back in a little bit of history, because some of you may remember he ran for president twice in 1984 and 1988 in the Democratic primary. And he did pretty well both times, actually. He got fourth, I think, in one of them. And he ran on the Rainbow Coalition idea, Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition. Well, that Rainbow Coalition politics is what runs America today. And I'll explain how it happened. So Jesse Jackson got the idea from 1970s Chicago. He was from Chicago and based in Chicago. In 1970, a Black Panther named Fred Hampton, a Black Panther Marxist radical, set up his own Rainbow Coalition. He got together some young white radicals. They were called the Young Patriots. And back in those days, these left-wing young patriots used to walk around with Confederate flags. So that would be a bit un-PC today, don't you think? But anyway, he joined up with the young Patriots, and he joined up with the young Lords. They were a Puerto Rican gang that became political. So it was a rainbow coalition. You had the white stripe, you had the black stripe, you had the brown stripe. So the idea was to bring the races, the radical races together to form a big organization that could challenge for power. But Fred Hampton was killed in a police raid. He's still an icon today. They made a movie about him recently, this Marxist radical. They forgot to talk about the Marxist part and the pro-China parts, but never mind. And so Jesse Jackson applied this principle in 1984 and 1988, but this time it was much broader because there were more minorities in the country by the 80s. You had a lot of Asians coming into the countries. The changes that happened to immigration policy in the 60s, by the 80s, they were starting to bite. You had a lot more people from China, from Vietnam, obviously, from other Laos, Taiwan, India, other Asian countries. So you had a bit of a bigger mix. So Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition had a yellow stripe for the Asians. It had a black stripe for the blacks, a brown stripe for the Puerto Ricans, the Mexicans, Latinos, a red stripe for the Native Americans. It had a green stripe, not for the Muslims, which it would be today, but for the environmentalists. It had a lavender stripe for the gays, the radical gays. And this is their terminology, not mine. This is explicitly how they designed it. You bring all of the minorities together until you form a majority. Well, this was Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition was led by Maoists, pro-Chinese communists from the Communist Workers' Party, the Line of March, the League of Revolutionary Struggle, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, with a little bit of help from the pro-Soviet Communist Party USA and Democratic Socialists of America. The Jesse Jackson Rainbow Coalition movement was communist from top to bottom, completely communist. And it should have had quite a good idea. And if you bring the minorities together, instead of all fighting in their little battles, you unify them, you bring them together, and you use that electoral muscle to start electing people. But when Jesse Jackson was running in the 80s, you know, the minorities were still only 12 to 15% of the population. Now they're closer to 35, 40%. So you can see his idea was before its time. Now, the League of Revolutionary Struggle was the dominant group within the Rainbow Coalition. And there was a young man, a big supporter of the League at Stanford University in the 80s, a young man called Stephen Phillips. And he was a law student. He hung around Stanford for years. You know, one of these, get a scholarship, you hang around for years, you do revolutionary politics all day long, and then you just pass your exams after about 5 or 6 years and you move on. There was thousands of young revolutionaries like that in the 70s and 80s and 60s. And he was one of them. And he also worked as Jesse Jackson's West Coast organizer for the Rainbow Coalition, both in 1984 and 1988, I believe. And he and the League of Revolutionary Struggle really learned something. Because, see, Maoism, the pro-Chinese brand of communism, is all about race. See, Mao Zedong, when he took over China, he didn't have an industrial working class, because Marxism is supposed to be all about the industrial working class, the unions joining together and taking down the capitalists. But in China, there was no industrial working class. There was only a few factories in Shanghai and hardly anywhere else. But there were lots of peasants and there were lots of racial minorities. So instead, Maoism, instead of focusing on the class struggle, was much more about using race to divide people, using one race against another, and much more about using the peasantry in the countryside and going where the minorities were. And in America, the minorities were you know, there was a lot of, and especially in the South where they focused a lot, most of the minorities lived in rural areas in the South. In the North, it was different. They tended to be more industrialized and more in unions and that kind of thing. And so the class struggle was used more in the North. The Maoist strategy was used more in the South and the Southwest. They used to call it the Sun Belt strategy. We're going to win communism by uniting the minorities of the South. And part of the League of Revolutionary, the League of Revolutionary Struggle itself formed out of three different groups. Aiwar Kuen, which was a Chinese communist group, the Revolutionary Workers Group, Revolutionary Workers League, which was a black communist group, and the, what was the other one? There's another one as well. The August 29th movement, which was mainly a Chicano communist group. So these three racial groups got together and was one of the few communist parties in America that was majority minority. And the August 29th people, they were all about separating the southern states, southwestern states, and giving them back to Mexico. So they were all about Chicano activism and La Raza and all this kind of stuff. The blacks were all about working in the black communities of the southern states to split up the United States. And the Asians were all about uniting with China and, you know, independence for Hawaii and reparations for Japanese who'd been interned during World War II, all of this kind of thing, all this racial type of agitation. And so Steve Phillips learned a lot from this. And after he left Stanford, he became a lawyer in San Francisco, but he also married his Stanford University sweetheart, a young woman called Susan Sandler. Susan Sandler was part of the mega wealthy Sandler family. Her parents, Herb and Marion Sandler, owned Golden West Savings and Loan. And they sold that to Wells Fargo, to Wachovia. It almost made Wachovia bankrupt, and Wachovia had to go and amalgamate with Wells Fargo. But anyway, the Sandlers got about $2 billion for this out of profit. And they put about half of it into the progressive movement. They set up the Center for American Progress, ProPublica. They funded ballot initiatives. They funded candidates all over the country. And Steve Phillips became their emissary. He was a young black guy, but he worked his way up through the Democratic Party hierarchy with the Sandler money. He hooked up in 2005, I believe it was. He went to Atlanta, Georgia. They had a big meeting with Tom Steyer and George Soros and others, where they set up an organization called the Democracy Alliance. This is the club for left-wing millionaires and billionaires. It costs you $200,000 a year just to be a member. And so Steve Phillips became an advisor, became a key part of this group. And he got to know a lot of big donors. And so he decided to implement the Rainbow Coalition strategy of Jesse Jackson into the more modern America, America 20 years on, where the minorities were a much bigger share of the population. He wrote a book a few years ago called Brown is the New White. And this was his argument. Democrats, stop going to the middle voter. Forget about the moderate, the independent, middle voter. Forget them. Stop wasting all your money trying to get 2% of the population to switch from Republican to Democrat. You know, you stop fighting over that little bit in the middle. Instead, go for the minorities, especially in the South. Because if you go for the minorities, they already lean Democrat. They're already Democrats. They just don't vote. So you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck by going into the southern states, running progressive candidates of color, and doing mass voter registration drives amongst the black and Latino communities, the Native American communities of the Southwest, the college kids. You're going to get way more bang for your buck getting the Democrats, these natural Democrats, to get out and vote Democrat. Well, Steve Phillips, his hand is all over the last few elections. In 2010, 2008, he got $10 million together and did big voter registration drives all across 17, mainly southern and southwestern states, amongst Black and Latino communities. Big voter registration drives, and that's what got his very good friend Barack Obama ahead of Hillary Clinton in the 2008 Democratic primary. Steve Phillips and the Rainbow Coalition strategy and Jesse Jackson gave us Barack Obama. Because what did Barack Obama run on? The white progressives and the communities of color joining together to form a majority. This was Steve Phillips' argument in his book, Brown is the New White. Democrats, you've already got the majority. 30% of the population are white progressives. They'll vote Democrat if Adolf Hitler was on the ticket. They don't care. They just love the Democrats. That's what they're going to be. They'll always be Democrats. 30%. Another 25% of the population, or a bit more, 29% I think it was, are progressives of color. Black, Latino, Asian American, Vietnamese, Filipinos. They're Democrats. They don't normally vote, but if you can get them to vote, you will have a majority. You will have, you've already got 51, 53%. The trouble is some of that 53% doesn't vote. So put the money into getting them voted, getting them voting, and you'll win. Run progressive candidates of color and you'll win. That's how Obama won the first time. That's how Obama won the second time. On a communist racial coalition, that's how he won. And the Democrats screwed it up by running Hillary Clinton in 2020. They got too cocky. They thought they could do it without the Rainbow Coalition formula, just getting the women to vote, and it didn't quite come out that way. Donald Trump took them all by surprise, and he set them back by 4 years, and they hate him for it, like with a passion. So how's this played out in the South? Am I exaggerating? Well, has anybody in Georgia ever heard of Stacey Abrams? Stacey Abrams is a board member of Steve Phillips' organization, Power Pack. And she used Acorn People, and she set up big voter registration organizations in the South called New Georgia Project. And she mobilized hundreds of thousands of young Black, young Latino voters in the South, in Georgia, who didn't normally vote. And she came very close to winning the governorship, I think, in 2018. Didn't do so well last year, but she did very well the first time. But it is her that gave you Raphael Warnock. And I've talked about Raphael Warnock's communism in my last couple of shows. She gave you Raphael Warnock. She gave you several of the young, of the radical new Black members of Congress in Georgia, like Nakima Williams, for instance, who is basically a Marxist. She did that, and she's taken over state houses, positions, and county commissions and school boards on the strength of the Rainbow Coalition strategy. You've got to understand, folks, that this is a strategy. The same strategy was used in Arizona to flip Arizona from, a very deep red state to now a blue state. And that was, a little bit of cheating there as well, but that was using radical organizations running candidates of color, and also getting behind Mark Kelly and Kyrsten Sinema, running, just really working the Latino communities. One of the affiliated groups to this in the last election knocked on 1 million doors in Arizona and made 8 million phone calls amongst communities of color. So people understand they are very well funded, they are very active. This strategy is the reason that North Carolina has a Democrat governor. very, very Republican state. Well, maybe it's at least a purple state, but you've got a Democrat governor because the communists have gone into the big black populations of Durham, North Carolina, and used those people to carry races statewide. And thank God for Ted Budd, who beat Sherry Beasley, or you'd have another communist senator in North Carolina. It's the same reason why Kentucky, deep red Kentucky, has a blue socialist governor. And it's the reason why Florida, my state, almost elected Andrew Gillum in 2018. Andrew Gillum was also a board member of Steve Phillips. He's a board member of his organization. And Steve Phillips got a lot of money for him, and he really went for it. And he would have won if Donald Trump hadn't endorsed Ron DeSantis, who called Gillum out for the socialist Marxist that he was. And luckily, we just beat him. But there's two other politicians that are big protégés of Steve Phillips as well. There's many around the country. He has had massive influence, this Maoist Marxist from Stanford University and the people who follow him. There's two others. One of whom you may know of is crybaby Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, who ran for president in 2020 with Steve Phillips backing. Now, crybaby Cory didn't actually do that well, but he was put into the U.S. Senate by Steve Phillips. There's no doubt he got several million dollars from Steve Phillips. They did the Rainbow Coalition strategy in Newark and the big black centers, Hispanic centers in northern New Jersey, and they won the seat for a Marxist, Cory Booker. Here's another one that may surprise you a little bit, and this is really one of the big successes. Well, she was a success that turned out to not be such a success, and that's Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris completely owes her position to Steve Phillips. Steve Phillips knew Kamala Harris's family. He was very friendly with Kamala Harris's sister. He helped to get Kamala Harris's brother-in-law, Tony West, a big job in the Obama White House, I think number three in the Justice Department. Steve Phillips and his money helped get Kamala Harris elected to the San Francisco DA's job, then the California Attorney General's job, and then he got her the vice presidency. See, the original plan was for Kamala to be the presidential candidate, and they were going to make her the female Barack Obama. But she's such a non-entity. She's such a terrible speaker and such a damaged person that nobody liked her. And so no matter what they did, she just couldn't get any traction, and she flamed out of the primary. Flamed out. And I lost a lot of steak dinners on that because I told everybody that Kamala was going to be the candidate. She was the rainbow candidate. She was Steve Phillips's protege. So what happens? Bernie Sanders gets ahead of steam up. And the Democrats knew that Bernie was just too openly communist. He's no more communist than the rest of them, just more open about it. And they knew they couldn't have Bernie. They'd just seen Jeremy Corbyn, the Marxist, given a major drubbing in England in their election. And they couldn't risk it by letting Bernie Sanders get ahead. But he was getting ahead, and they had nobody to counter him. Joe Biden was losing everything. Pete Buttigieg was getting a little bit of traction, but they knew he was never going to be a candidate that could win. So it was coming up to the South Carolina primary, and Jim Clyburn, the left-wing black Democrat congressman from South Carolina, went out and got his black people to vote for Joe Biden. It was on the cusp of Bernie Sanders taking the nomination, and the black communities of South Carolina, stirred up by Jim Clyburn, gave Joe Biden a lifeline. The only reason Joe Biden is president today is because they couldn't have Bernie Sanders, and Kamala Harris flamed out. So they got Joe Biden into the White House by hook or by crook, a lot of by crook. And guess what? he chose Kamala Harris to be his VP. I absolutely knew that was going to happen. I predicted it in many meetings around the country. I knew that the fix was in for Kamala. They toyed with Karen Bass for a while, and Karen Bass has been to Cuba something like 17 times. She was a communist, a complete communist, now the mayor of Los Angeles. But she was a little bit old, and, you know, Kamala was really the one. She had the connection to Steve Phillips, and so Kamala was chosen. Kamala was anointed, and guess what? She proved just as unpopular and just as ditzy as she was when she was on the presidential trail, to the point that the Democrats basically hide her away. They might get her to open a post office here or there, but she makes no important policy speeches. She's very seldom seen on the international stage. She's a huge embarrassment to the Democratic Party because they fell into their own trap. They're all about identity politics. She won because she is half black, half Asian, and she's female. That's the only, and a Marxist. That's the only four reasons she's there. No other qualifications, none whatsoever. She was the perfect rainbow coalition candidate, except for her lack of a likable personality and any coherent thought stream. Other than that, she's fine. So the Democrats hoist themselves by their own petard, but they've still had huge success with this program overall. They got Obama, two terms, did massive, massive damage to this country. They got Stacey Abrams in. They got Cory Booker in. They've used this strategy in Southern California to help flip California by using the Latino populations of that state. They've made big inroads in the South, big inroads in parts of Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia. They are working on flipping the South. And as the South gets, as more people gravitate to the South and the young population of the South gets a little bit older in voting, the South is in deep trouble because of the strategy. In deep trouble. You know, there's still a stronghold of conservative Christianity. It's still a stronghold of the Republican Party, but not for much longer unless something is done. If I told you that Arizona would have two left-wing Democrat senators 10 years ago, would you believe me? If I told you that Georgia would have two Marxist senators 10 years ago, would you have believed me? No, you probably wouldn't have. But this is because of Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition, Steve Phillips, the Democracy Alliance, and George Soros running the racial minority game. This is what it's all about. This is why the Democrats are just all about race, 100%. You know, we just saw the killing in Memphis, and the Democrats are all down there at the funeral right now for that young man. They don't care about his family. They don't care anything about him, but they got to play the game. If they cared about the black community, they'd close the border so young black kids didn't have to compete with millions of illegal immigrants for jobs. But they don't care about black communities. They care about raw power, socialism, and their own egos. So I hope you found this a little bit enlightening. I hope it gives you a bit of an insight as to why America is as it is today, and maybe a few ideas on how we can start to counter this. And I'll talk about some of those later. So please go to trevorloudon.com, get Enemies Within, the Enemies Within the Church, get Security Risk Senators, White House Reds, the best reservoir of anti-communist material in the country right now. All factual, all checked out. So thanks for watching Enemies Within. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you all, and God bless this great country of America. Thank you.